Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Good evening, class. Are we sitting comfortably? Good. Then let us begin. For tonight, on the Video Nasty Project, we're taking you to school with... Final Exam. Be sure to put your name in the upper right corner of the answer sheet, or you won't get credit. Oh, and here's the trailer.
At Lanier College, they have the finest security, the best teacher-student relations, no fraternity hazing, strictly enforced curfews.
Shh, what was that?
And a killer. He's come back. Final Exam.
When are you going to realize that the whole world isn't made of psychopaths?
There's a murderer around campus killing people.
Some may pass the test.
Lisa!
God help the rest. Exam. He's come back.
And welcome back. We just got done, more or less, seeing Final Exam.
Mm-hmm. So this movie basically is, it's a completely generic, cut-and-paste kind of movie taken from a lot of different movies like Halloween, Friday the 13th, whatever.
So we should tell them what the hell the movie's about, other than it's a murder mystery on campus.
Okay, so you've got this couple that gets murdered in a car at the beginning of the movie by some guy that looks kind of sketchy.
Yeah, they're just out on Lover's Lane. They're not on the campus that the movie takes place on. It's like a neighboring campus. And they're hanging out and they're necking in the car and they like, you know, it's a very Meatloaf Paradise by the Dashboard Light. And then the murderer shows up. And like, you know, and the one guy is like, hey, what the fuck, man? Why, get away from my car, you son of a bitch. And she's like, no, don't do anything. And it's like, I'm going to go take care of him. And then all of a sudden this knife comes through the convertible top and just rip. And he gets pulled out onto the hood. And all of a sudden, knife.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they didn't waste any time at all. I mean, it gives you what you want in the first 5 minutes or so. I mean, you've got about 4 minutes of necking, and then shit, just all hell breaks loose.
So the movie starts out really strong. Unfortunately, that's the last of the gore and the murders we're going to get for the next 50 or so minutes.
Yeah, because then it picks up on the college campus, and we start getting into the relationships of these characters who are doing their final exams. And the best scene in the movie with these characters, I think, kind of wrenching, you know, just the angst out of it, is their final exam scene with the teacher who says, I'm going out of the room right now. I'm leaving these two, these TAs here, these exam Nazis, you know, pissed off exam Nazis, and I'm going to my room, and you guys are going to have to do your shit. So you've got the smart kid, the mathematics whiz, Radish.
He's basically the nerd of the cast.
Yeah, he's kind of got this Mark McClure, John McEnroe hair, and he's kind of really thin, wears polo shirts, and he's likable, but kind of goofy, but he is the math whiz.
And then you meet Wildman. He is the jock of the cast. He is the... A good equivalent would be Bluto from Animal House.
Mm-hmm.
And he is this big, rough, bully sort of dude.
And you've got Gary, who's kind of a hunky, smaller, younger jock who wants to get into the frat with Wildman and Mark. And then you've got Courtney, who is the Gary's girlfriend, kind of the, you know, she's the one of the female lead.
And let's just face it, she's the final girl. She's demure, she's shy, she's a little bit withdrawn, she's very studious. So, clearly the final girl.
So, basically, Wild Man has been studying, you know, Cliff's notes, you know, he stole somebody's exam or got from somebody, and then the teacher says, and we're not doing this exam, we're doing this one.
But Mark, the smart one, he's got a backup plan, and he's got an angle that he's going to cheat. Unfortunately, it leads directly into the most problematic scene of the entire movie. The school shooting.
Oh, yeah. So this brown van rolls up, and four thugs with M16s get out and start wasting people on the campus grounds. And three people get tagged, two people get hit in the chest and fall over dead.
And people are running around and screaming, and you know they're wearing the baklavas, so they not baklava,
balaclava,
that's a, balaclava, not baklava. Baklava would be messy. Balaclavas, and they're just like blazing away with these big old machine guns, and they grab a couple of dead bodies off the lawn and throw them into the van, and they jump in the van and peel out, and everybody's freaking out. And in today's society, the reaction would be completely different than what they get in the movie. Because everybody in the movie kind of blows it off.
It's kind of telling because there are people in the background who are doing shit that you would normally do when that's not happening. Like there's a guy on like a John Deere in the background mowing grass. Why is he doing that when there's shooting going on? There's people walking in the background while these guys are firing. And then later there's a couple of girls come running up and they're laughing and ha 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 ha.
So yeah, it is not a very comfortable scene to sit through. Oy vey.
Yeah. The first thing that came to my mind was, you know, the shootings that happen in colleges around this country. But then it also brings to mind Kent State, which was more recent in that era. That was 70 or 71.
It was like 72, I think it was.
Yeah, something like that. So
I might be wrong,
off.
Don't quote me.
But the thing I like about the scene is the dialogue they use in the scene that you don't normally hear in movies like that, where the kid says, "Hey, I'm just saying what happened. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. It wasn't my fault, you know." And then the gym teacher comes out and verbally spars with the sheriff, and it becomes evident that these guys know each other going back decades. They both used to go to school here.
And so for the next hour or so of the movie, we're getting to know the characters. We're going through their lives. Wildman and Mark, they're like working to acquire the test for next week. They're Radish, he's kind of lamenting his fate. He's trying to make time with Courtney, but not really. And just basically fleshing out these admittedly very shallow. They don't get a lot of backstory, but I mean, they are people.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa's, you know, bawling the teacher, you know, who's giving the test. I mean, she meets him out in the hallway and they go into his office and she asks him, "Why are you still here, you know, doing this?" And he says, "You know, I like it."
And I thought that was one of the interesting things that they didn't do in this movie, that usually somebody, an older teacher, and inappropriately boning a student would suffer some sort of moral repercussions down the road. Sex equals death, kind of the same sort of thing. He gets away scot-free. He just kind of falls off the map and never appears ever again.
He's not a red herring, but he is a disposable character. He's kind of a gatekeeper that opens the door to this next scene, basically. He's kind of like a segue device. It's like, you know, here comes a so-and-so, and then this is going to happen. He's got a wife he's not happy with. You know, Lisa describes her as having a sagging body. Why have that when you can have this firm, supple, you know, young thing? So he's setting up, he functions as a segue device to Lisa. You go from him to her, and then from her to some of the other characters. And, yeah, as you say, you never see him again because he's like, you know, what is it? They say fire and forget.
So you mentioned Radish and his proclivity to, quote, like, dragnet and stuff. He basically is a train spotter for serial murders. He's all like, you know, people could just show up randomly and start killing people, and I'm not paranoid. That sort of thing. they mention early on at the very first class where he's talking about the Texas sniper in like 63 or so. And I thought that was a clever bit of foreshadowing for the soon-to-be impending sniper attack.
Yeah, the teacher basically was shining the kids on, mentioning that he had a sniper ready to shoot any of these kids if they cheated on the test. And they kind of laughed it off. And
the first time they mentioned that, I'm like, that's a really deep cut and really odd topic to bring up in an 80s slasher movie. You know, a 30-year-old at that point event. But then they pay it out. I thought that was really good script writing.
Yeah, and they do it in a way that you don't expect it to happen because the teacher's just flipping his kids shit. Yeah, I mean, he's basically taking the task because some of them are cheating and he knows they're cheating. And he knows that the only thing that can stop them is if they're watched like hawks. And, you know, if you step out of line, this is what you get.
Other points of foreshadowing that they managed to slip in very cleverly, the dumbwaiter. So they're in the cafeteria, they're having a scene, and it's like one of the girls, Lisa, I think it was going over to the conveyor belt to take her trash down to the kitchen. Puts the tray down, it goes into the dumbwaiter, and the camera follows the tray, and then it goes down into the kitchen, and then it rolls out to the guy schlepping stuff into the garbage can. But then, and it's like, okay, that's kind of a cool shot, you know, very nice, whatever. But it pays out later on because when Courtney is down in the kitchen running away from the killer, and she's got the door barricaded, she's got stuff piled up in front of the door, and then the camera pans over, and you just see some boots coming down on the dumbwaiter. And it's like, holy shit, that's really sinister. That's really clever. I really fucking love you, movie.
Yeah, this movie is full of nice little touches. I did like the one bit where they're struggling on the staircase, and she manages to get the knife out of his hands, and it falls down into the floor below.
Okay, now that we've brought him up, let's talk about the killer. Because if you're going to have a point of contention with this movie, it's probably going to be the fact that the killer is rather bland and generic and not very well developed. I liked that it's bland and generic and not very well developed. It's just this dude randomly shows up and starts murdering people on campus for no good reason. He doesn't have traumatic backstory. He doesn't have a bastard son of 1,000 maniacs in his backstory.
I like the fact this guy is a generic kind of Vietnam vet looking guy with his green army field jacket and his blue jeans and stuff. And he goes and he's got his service, you know, serviceable haircut. He's not a deformed monster. He's not some, you know, guy in a mask. It's just a guy, you know, going around stabbing people. And they hardly ever hide his face, you know, for the most part. Sometimes you see bits of it, you know, and it's just like, this is like real life. Where you get stuff that's just in your face, and it's what it is, and they don't make the slasher film into an exercise in horror. The only horror comes out of the killings, but this is just more realistic because of that.
And he fucking caught an arrow!
Yeah, oh yeah, because the gym teacher has a bow and arrow, and he's stalking this. He's gone up the stairs, and then he gets into the stalking with the arrow, and you think he's gonna get him, and no.
The crazy thing, that wasn't a special effect. That was the guy they got to hire to be the killer. He was a stuntman. He was like a black belt in kung fu. He knew how to do it. That's why they got him, because, hey, we're going to need somebody for fight choreography. You want to be the killer? Great. So they hired him to be the killer. And so he's like, yeah, I can do that. Shoot an arrow at me. He, boom, snatched it out of the air.
Damn. That adds a lot of value to a film like this. I mean, there is some really, you know, good on-the-nose stuff in this movie when it comes to, you know, some of the sight gags and everything. Even the fake killing with the douchebag jocks coming in and pretending to pepper people, you know, that was really well staged. I mean, it looked like an actual murder until I got the idea that they couldn't cross, you know, contaminate murders with a group of murderers with a slasher.
But aside from that one problematic scene, the rest of it is really tame and not really going to set your nerves on edge. It's really good, but it's not intense.
Even Gary's death, which was right up in camera, like right there. The first death was way far away. And then they moved Gary's right up to here, and they have it off screen, and he doesn't scream. I mean, he barely said anything. And then one of the other girls, it wasn't Courtney, was looking for him. So, Gary, Gary, and then, you know,
And then she gets done away with, kind of off screen. They have a certain economy with their deaths. A lot of it is off screen or below screen, or like in her case, where the killer grabs her and pulls her around a corner, and you just hear some screaming and cut to black.
Yeah.
It serves two things. It keeps your rating lows, because they wanted to hit the R rating, and it also lets them not spend money on Karo syrup and special effects.
And also, if they decided that they wanted to do more suspense versus horror, then they could say that they were going for a more suspenseful thing, since you have to make up your mind has to bridge the gap between what's going on and what's not.
It's been a while since we've done this, but we've got an actual proper slasher flick on our hands.
Yeah.
What was your favorite death then?
I think it's probably Gary, because he is one of the jock guys who's nice. And he's had a ton of shit thrown at him, lashed to a tree, abused, left overnight, and then he finally gets cut loose, and then //.
But he did get a final drink from the campus security dude, the old dude who is a lush.
Yeah.
Actually, I like that clever bit of foreshadowing, too, where they establish firmly that campus security is one dude, and he's a lush and completely incompetent. So when he passes out drunk in a truck, or is dead, we don't know, he might be dead, it's like, where's campus security? Oh, no, crazy Ralph has just passed out in the corner in his truck again. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, and this guy is an old guy. He's like in his 70s or something, and he's short. I mean, he's short, ineffectual, old, you know, drunk, who shows up when the sheriff comes, and then the coach is there, and they're talking, and he comes in and gives his 2 cents about what's going on. And it's like, I'm security here. This is blah, 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 my campus. Yeah. And it's like, who the fuck is this guy?
So you want to know my favorite death then? I am going to go with Radish.
Yeah.
Not so much that it's visceral or violent or really intense, but it's just so goddamn sad, because here he is on the precipice of confessing his love to Courtney. And he is almost there. He's on his way back to say, I really kind of dig you. Can we do something about this? And he gets killed. So he dies with love on his lip and in his heart.
Poor Radish gets it at the door of the dorm. Crash, grab, stab. Oh, no.
That was a hell of a stunt, too. Because, I mean, you figure, okay, we've established that this dude is an arrow-catching black belt motherfucker. So it's just a simple matter for him to punch through the door. But he still has to punch through the door, grab Radish, and then pull Radish into the door. And it's like, that was really well executed.
Yeah, this movie is full of good practical on-screen special effects that are in camera that don't require, you know, a ton of people to do. It's very simple. The kind of thing that you do when you want to have fun and you haven't got a lot of money, and you say, and we've got a certain budget and we know what we're doing, and we're going to put together something that's really, really going to blow people away, and they pulled it off. And they managed to throw in a lot of the character development in there as well. So, yeah, that was a really good gamble, you know, building up the characters as opposed to having them knocked down like pegs.
All right, so I've got a question for you then. If you took some of the kills from the back and sprinkled them out throughout the movie, do you think it would be as effective if you had a constant stream of kills? Or do you think it was better for the movie to hold everything back and release it at the last 20 minutes?
I think it was better this way, for people who like an intellectual exercise with killings. There's a certain, you know, sect of people that are willing to sit through and have the payload at the end. You've been rewarded. But then there's the people who need sight stimulation right off the bat. They need the constant, every 5 minutes, boom, 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 porn. You know, they need that in order to function. These are the kind of people that put on a TV in the background while they're doing shit just to have something going while they're, you know, smoking a bong or whatever. These are the guys that would be completely bored with the character development. Whereas the people who don't care, necessarily care how many kills they get at the beginning just so they get something more, some more meat on the bones, you know, will wait and be rewarded and be happier when they leave.
And keeping everything held back to the last 20 minutes sets you apart from every other slasher movie on the planet, because everybody else at the time was sprinkling their kills in throughout. So if you want to stand out from the crowd, do something different.
So among the things I like in this film that are not related to the kills are the setups. I like the cinematography in this. I think it's on par with a lot of bigger budget movies. You know, you get a lot of really good wide shots, establishing shots of the buildings here, the university, the scale of what this place is.
that was one of the other things they wanted to do was when they were going through their checklist of we want our slasher movie to be like Friday the 13th, etc. They wanted to ape the Dean Cudney style from Halloween.
This movie has a lot of good wide vista shots. It has a good sense of scale. You see a lot of students. You see a lot of the buildings and stuff. It doesn't feel like an intimate atmosphere with just like an ensemble cast that's small. Except when it's these creepy, eerie hallway shots at night. There's nobody there and these characters run up. Hello? Anybody there? You know, rattle the doorknob and it's just like empty hallway.
It invoking the Halloween 2 abandoned Hanfield Memorial Hospital.
Yeah.
Again, no lights, no doctors, no patients. What the fuck? Okay, at least here on in a deserted campus after spring break has started, we can at least justify, okay, there's nobody here because everybody's left campus.
This is like that other movie we watched last year where everybody on campus left and the kids were left behind cleaning.
Oh, the dorm that drip blood.
Dorm drip blood, yeah. That was a very good movie. This reminds me a bit of that. It had the same thing, abandoned school, everybody gone, and then like a handful of victims to whack away at.
This movie managed to have a significant body of extras in the background, so it didn't quite feel cheap like the Dorm the Drip Blood. So you've got your crowd shots, and you've got lots of extras, which occasionally were the crew. They said, hey, go stand over there and populate the scene. So they did a lot of that.
I like the costume design. You know, Lisa, I mean, sex pot from heaven, you know, with her mules and her shorts and her, you know, tight T-shirt and stuff.
The scene where she's right before her death, when she's on the couch draped in satin and the lights all kind of, you just have shafts of light in the background, and she's kind of demure and very sexy, and I thought that scene was really good.
Yeah, I wasn't even scared for her in that scene. I was more just admiring the setup, where you got the couch and you got the paintings all around, the sketches and everything, and she strips naked, and it wasn't in a cheap or tawdry way, it was in a very kind of innocent.
Sensual.
It was sensual, almost innocent. Because it wasn't ogling necessarily her, it was admiring her, you know, her physical beauty without being sexualized. It was more, this is this person, you know, she has talent, she plays the piano, she's kind of a ditz, but she's a well-meaning person. And now she's going to pose nude, and it's not utilitarian, it's just very well-stated.
And that was another thing that they were doing to set themselves apart from the Friday the 13th pack, where you don't get a lot of titties in this movie, but when you do, it's used very effectively.
It's very soft, and like I said, it's almost kind of like innocent because, I mean, there's no sex involved. It's just this girl's here to pose, and, you know, if it was a cheap and tawdry film, you'd expect some guy in jeans and nothing else.
All right, well, we're going to call that a night. Final exam is passed. With an A+.
Yeah, and that's rare. A+.
Yeah.
Both, yeah.
Extra credit, baby.
Woohoo!
Extra credit.
They studied hard.
Mm-hmm. So, Ashley, my friend, would you seize Final Exam?
No. This is a relatively mild movie. It's very generic in the sense that it takes a lot from other movies, but it does so in a way that's completely tame. The stabbings, even though sometimes they're graphic, sometimes they're shadowed.
But you're not even going to get it for the ending, which was pretty savage. She stabbed the dude like 18, 20 times.
Yeah, I suppose. But then again, there are movies that show a lot more evisceration, like Dawn of the Dead. You know, where you've got guts spilling out everywhere and blood just fountaining.
But you know the funny thing is? With their shot glass full of blood for a final exam, the MPAA, those cunts, they still nailed it with an X.
Well, some movies go out unrated if they want to keep everything in. And a lot of the time, they will judge things based on kinetic violence. You know, body hits, you know, noises, the crushing of bones. You know, how hurt does the character sound on screen? That can affect people. Screams can affect people.
So as to the question of whether or not I would seize it, I'm just winding you up. I wouldn't seize the thing. This is completely harmless. It's very tame, very blood-free, mostly. If you're looking for Tom Savini-level special effects, you ain't getting it here.
This is more like a cross between maybe Don Dohler, you know, and his low-rent Perry Hall Maryland type of stuff, Fiend, Alien, whatchamacallit, his Alien movies where the gore was mainly bloodless, but it was kind of visceral because the movie was about something. And so it didn't matter if there was blood in it because you felt something for the characters.
All right, so we let it go. You may now keep your movie, Shopkeeper. We're okay with it. Bye-bye.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
So, do you have any thoughts to whether or not you enjoyed the movie or not?
Yeah, I thought it was a good romp. The movies like that had a very serviceable feel to them. They were an adventure as opposed to something that made me sick. This movie is sort of the same thing, and it has kind of the Meatballs feel to it with a goofiness.
It does have a very Animal House feel to it, particularly with Wildman, who is very obviously Bluto.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's John Belushi all the way with the goofiness and everything.
I can see why somebody would say, man, I do not like this fucking movie, because you really have a lot of dead time between the first murder and when things pick up again in the last murder. You've got an hour and of dead time. But you fill that time with, like, characters that you like. You really flesh the characters out, and I find that refreshing in a slasher movie.
I think it was fun. It was well made. It was competently directed. It was a slow burn, which I like. It had likable characters, and it had a very familiar feel based on the movies of the era that I liked. So it's win-win for me.
So tell me how you really feel then. You really like this movie then, don't you?
Oh, it's all right. A little rough around the edges.
Yeah, it has problems. I won't deny that. It has issues. Yes, it does. The acting is rough. It's got problems. Fuck it, I really like this movie.
Yeah.
It is just a pure, fun slasher flick without pretension.
I had a fun time. This reminded me of Jaws. It was an adventure with some gore in it, but a lot of times the gore was off-screen and it was really serviceable.
All right, so we will catch you next week then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, students, pencils down, time's up for your final exam. And I'm sure you're all depressed about that. But don't worry, because next week, Roger Corman, he brings you Kung Fu and titties with Firecracker. Yay! Kung Fu and titties. Mm-mm-mm. Drop us an email, thevideonastyproject@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next week. Stay evil.
This looks like a job for Wildman!